Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, yesterday, President Trump responded to the hateful press by taking them on, literally. A lot of comments about that. His approval numbers are increasing, now at plus 2%, at 55%. This is infuriating to the press and the enemies of Trump and those still refusing to accept the election results. So what are they going to do next? Well, perhaps the real question, which we're going to look at in this first segment, is what is Barack Obama doing since the election to keep the pot stirred? Well, in addition to this really, I think, interesting information we're going to bring forth, on today's program, we're going to be talking with our special international geopolitical expert, IQ Arasuli, on a number of key issues, including these, the European and international view to the Democratic and media hatred and pushback towards President Trump and his agenda. Another one is Europe awakening in time to the Islamic jihadi threat. And then there's going to be a whole lot more. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr, and I'm joined today by David Kistler and Gary Dahl on this and other issues. Men, you know, this week started full of events, and we're exiting this week full of events, far too many, in order to put on this program, and it's always tough to try and pick out the ones we highlight. But let me start here, if I could, for today. Last night I got home late from 2 days in Washington, D.C. I was at the Capitol in the areas around there. I sat through two closed-door security meetings and had lots of discussions with many people. One thing is for sure, the Obama-Clinton Democrats, and I'm going to say this carefully, embedded with Obama-appointed Muslim Brotherhood plants throughout government are trying to destroy the administration of Donald Trump and destroy his ability to follow through on his promises to the American people. And I think this is a very, very serious matter. But Dave, let me go to you first on that. The president's been dealing with serious security leaks on a wide range, a hostile media, and a host of enemies. We know that. The media and others continue to hammer him and accuse him of all kinds of untruths, yet Rasmussen tracking polls yesterday indicate that his approval rating has hit a high of 55% in spite of these attacks and negative press. And I wonder if we're seeing the same thing witnessing itself here as we saw before the election. Just wondered what your thoughts were toward this, what I term almost to be a phenomenon.
Well, Sam, I think we are. I think the very thing that won Donald Trump the presidency was his forthrightness, the fact that I think people do, while they may not appreciate or would not endorse the way he does everything, they do believe that he has America's best interest at heart, and I personally believe that as well. And, Sam, I think what's happening is people are supporting his drain the swamp mentality. I think yesterday's display at that press event, from what I am hearing from people that are just out in rural America, and I've heard from a number of them via text and email, who loved what he did yesterday, putting CNN and some of these other news outlets in their place because of their false news, fake news, their lies that they perpetrate nonstop. So, Sam, I think we're going to continue to see his approval rating trek upward as people understand he is really attempting to try to do some things to turn around the country and deal with the deceptions, all of the stuff that Washington, D.C. has become, all of which is very unpleasant.
Gary, let me go to you on this. Beside the fact that Barack Obama has decided not to move out of Washington, D.C., he's actually taken up residence right there close to where things are happening. He has had many words of agitation as a president, encouraging a number of things taking place out there in opposition to the president. From a biblical perspective, Gary, what is the biblical principle or principles here that the president is violating that really bring very negative results if he chooses to continue?
Well, one of the things, Sam, I think we need to recognize is that President Barack Obama is sort of working behind the scenes himself to establish a sort of a shadow government. And as you said, he's living very, very close to the White House, probably just about 2 miles away. And he is going to be involved, not necessarily directly, but with maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of people who support him, who want to see his particular agenda resurrected and completed. And in doing that, I think that it's showing a number of different biblical principles that apply. For instance, it shows that he's a proud individual. I mean, he basically wants his way or no way. And even though he's out of the office, he's doing everything or will do everything that he can to see that his previous agenda will get accomplished so that he might have a good record as history goes on. Secondly, I also think that he may be even coming along with some vengeance. He doesn't like Donald Trump. He knows Donald Trump is going to try to redo all of the things that he has done in his eight years. And so he is going to try to even bring vengeance on Donald Trump's actions. Thirdly, he certainly isn't honoring the king, is he? Or honoring leadership, as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 would bring up. And then, Sam, I'll tell you what I think he's really doing. And that is, he is sowing discord amongst the nation. You know, Proverbs 6 and 19 tells us that that's something that God does not like. I have said all along that during the 8 years of Barack Obama, he sowed discord between races, he sowed discord between parties, and I think that now that he's out of the office of the presidency, he's going to continue to sow discord, and that is not pleasing to God at all.
Well, Gary, in fact, you're right on the money, because just a couple of days ago, in the New York Post, there was an editorial there, and the title of it was, How Obama is Scheming to Sabotage the Trump Presidency. A rather alarming headline when I read it, and I found it in other sources as well. But he has done a lot of things, and we're going to be talking about this in the next section, but he said a couple of these things after the election, but before he departed. He said these things, quote, It is fine for everybody to feel stressed and discouraged, but get over it. He goes on and said he demanded that they, quote, move forward to protect what we've accomplished. Now is the time for some organizing, he said, so don't mope, end quote. That's a part of the article. I'm going to read some more of that when we come in the next break. But when we get back, I'm going to ask our guest, IQ Avrasooli, for his comments on what Barack Obama is doing, and I'll read a little bit more, as I said, and ask him his opinion on some other revelations about the former president's actions, which, Gary, alludes to what you said, because in this article, it is saying that the president is leading through a leading organization that has put together, run by a lot of Obama foreign assistants and aides, actually are overseeing a group of agitators across the country that number over 30,000. That's right, you heard right, 30,000. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back after the break, we're going to welcome in IQ Avrasooli, and we're going to get his opinion on what is taking place here by the president in this article that says how Obama is scheming to sabotage the Trump presidency. And then we're going to go to Europe and get European response to what is happening over here. I think you'll enjoy this next part of the discussion. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
A baseball star, Billy Sunday played for the Chicago White Sox in the 1890s. Born in an Iowa log cabin, his father, a Union Army soldier, died of pneumonia and Billy grew up in an orphanage. While recovering from a baseball injury, he began attending YMCA meetings. A national sensation occurred this day, February 17, 1889, when Billy Sunday preached his first sermon as an evangelist in Chicago. Over the next 46 years, 100 million people would hear him. In his animated style, Billy Sunday said, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we begin now with continuing our program, I'd like to welcome officially one of our most favorite guests, IQ Al-Rasuli. For those of you who may not have met him, he is a geopolitical commentator. He's the author of a very, very fine trilogy of books called Lifting the Veil, which exposes the real inside aspect of jihadist Islam. And he's a world expert on that religion as well. Former Iraqi, now living in exile. With that, IQ, I welcome you to the program today.
Thank you for having me.
IQ, I ended up the last segment with talking about some of the commentary about Barack Obama and his comments about it being time to do some organizing, as he said. After all, he came from that background. But let me read just a little bit more from this article to set this up, and then I want to ask you your opinion about what you think is really happening here. Now, in this article in the New York Post, the headline, which said, as I read earlier, talking about Barack Obama basically scheming, laying out a plan to take down the Trump administration, it says this. It says that, again, I'm quoting from the article, Barack Obama is doing this, his efforts, through a leftist nonprofit called Organizing for Action, OFA. It has 250 identified offices across the country, activists, many of which are paid, in essence an army of over 30,000 people. Now, it says specifically, quote, run by old Obama aides and campaign workers, federal tax records show that nonpartisan, quote, unquote, nonpartisan, OFA marshals a number in the range of 32,525 volunteers nationwide. Registered as a 501c4, it doesn't have to disclose its donors, but the donors have been very generous. OFA has raised over $40 million in contributions and grants since evolving out of Obama's campaign organization, Obama for America, in 2013. Now, that was basically the article, and it cited a whole lot more from that. But, IQ, let me ask you this first. To you, looking at America and knowing of Barack Obama's involvement with the Muslim Brotherhood and others, does this information surprise or alarm you? And how serious a threat do you think it actually poses to this administration?
This information about Barack Hussein Obama, the closeted Muslim, does not surprise me, but most definitely alarms me. Unlike almost all previous presidents who retired and let the new ones act, Obama has every intention of undermining Trump so that he will not succeed in fulfilling his promises to we, the people who elected him. Because Obama and the Democrats know full well that if Trump succeeds in making the inner city safer and more prosperous, neither the African Americans nor the Latinos will ever again vote Democrat. He's also most probably mortified that Trump's administration will double check and delve into his closed background. He is a troublemaker. He was always a troublemaker. And as you said earlier, he divided America in every way, shape, or form you can possibly imagine. Yes, he's a dangerous man.
Dave, I'm going to go to you right now and let you pose a question to IQ, if you could.
IQ, I want to ask you this. There is a lot of conversation on social media right now among the millennial generation that basically says, you know, Christian history has aberrations of the Christian faith where horrific things were practiced, where things were done in the name of Jesus. And they say, you know, that's true of Christianity. So the same thing is true of the religion of Islam. It is a peaceful religion. It just has, you know, aberrations of it, people that have corrupted and perverted it. I know you must hear this kind of question all the time. It is constantly being asked of me. IQ, as a former Muslim, I would love for you to address why Islam is totally different and trying to compare the aberrations in Christianity and what Islam practices is not the same at all.
Okay. Whenever you have somebody who's an idiot who raises an equivalence between Christianity and Islam, ask him one simple question. Show me one single verse in the whole of the New Testament which incites the followers of Jesus to murder those who do not believe in him. That simple question. There isn't any. But I will show you 106 verses in the Quran, and I'm not even discussing hadith, that incite the Muslims to murder, slaughter, rape, and plunder every non-Muslim on the planet. The conversation is ended. That's it. You don't need more than that. I said it before. The four horsemen of the apocalypse of Islam are called knowledge, 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 and knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Islam.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, that's I think that's one of the things, IQ, that we talk about here on this particular program a lot, and one of the reasons why we appreciate you coming on and sharing with us the knowledge that you have with regard to Islam and so forth. You give information that no one else is able to give, and you state it clearly. You know, one of the things that comes to my mind when we take into consideration with what Barack Obama is doing is this. I am afraid, IQ, that even as he has divided people, and I fully believe that he's divided our nation in the past 8 years of his presidency in so many different ways, I feel that with what he is doing now with these 30,000 plus people that are following him, that he could really lay the foundation of a great civil war here in the United States of America. And my question to you is, number one, do you believe that that's a possibility? And secondly, what do people around you, for instance, over in Europe, think that Barack Obama might do? Do they see that he could also lead to a civil war here in the United States of America?
Most Europeans, by the way, like most Americans, get their information from the fake media. By this,
okay.
I mean news media that literally collaborate with the leftist globalist agenda against the patriotic parties in both continents. Many of them, Europeans, are also under the false impression that President Trump is a loose cannon. The only Europeans who know better and are more realistic are those in the opposition parties in Europe. They are the patriotic ones that the left demonizes as racist and or extreme right. No matter how much these leftist elites in the European leadership try to suppress the facts about how the Muslim invaders are literally undermining the social order of Europe, the men and women in the street who are encountering Muslim terror and abuse are becoming less and less tolerant weekly, if not daily, and are taking counter action against the Muslims. The same thing should happen in America. I said it before. We, the people, elected Donald Trump against all odds. But you can't leave him alone. He cannot do it alone. He needs we, the people, to be active.
That's right.
You cannot be silent anymore, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to spend is 5 minutes of your time, literally 5 minutes. You tweet, you email the politician who is against Donald Trump and tell him, that's it. If you don't change, no vote, you're out of office. You do the same thing to those organizations who are trying not to buy goods from Ivanka or anything to do with Trump. Tell them, okay, no problem. I'm telling you now, if you don't change your policy, we're not buying from you. The American people, individually, are not helpless. But collectively, you are extremely powerful because you will hit the enemy in their pocket. Supposing you tell CNN, we are not going to see you anymore. We're not going to watch. NBC, we're not going to watch. Unless you change, we're not going to watch. Switch off. 2 months of switching off by 60 million people, these companies will collapse. Believe me, they will collapse financially because there will be nobody advertising. So we, the people, have to be proactive. You cannot sit on your backside anymore.
You've laid it out, IQ, extraordinarily clear. And I want to ask you this, because we're going to go in the next segment to what the attitude is there in Europe. But we like to have you on for a lot of reasons. But the attitude of Europe and the United States walking together, we've been on this, we're Western law. We share a lot in common. And even in regard to this Islamic effort, we are sharing a lot in common. When we come back here, before I get again in talking about asking you what's happening in the attitude in Europe, I want you to come back to me with what you perceive to be your biggest concerns and the greatest encouragements that you have, put it that both of those, since the inauguration of Donald Trump or since the election of Trump on November the 8th, in advancing the cause for change and putting efforts back where the power goes back to the people. What are you seeing as the greatest red flags, concerns for what's happening, and the greatest encouragement? I want to ask you that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and Gary Dohl, and our special guest, IQ, Al Rasooli. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after this announcement and these breaks for some very, very good discussion about attitudes in Europe towards this administration.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Anna Wells. The Senate is expected to vote in about half an hour from now to approve Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to head the EPA. Democrats like Connecticut's Chris Murphy spent the night arguing against him.
He's been a crusader on behalf of the energy industry against environmental protection.
Two Democrats are expected to break ranks and vote for Pruitt. Will the third time be a charm?
President Trump took to Twitter to write that acting National Security Advisor Keith Kellogg is being considered for the job on a permanent basis. Retired Vice Admiral Robert Harwood declined President Trump's offer to be the new National Security Advisor.
Fox's John Decker. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer is about to get some help. President Trump is expected to name GOP consultant Mike Dubke as communications director. Dubke runs a firm that specializes in political advertising. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180
shining forth, we are WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The Pennsylvania Senate has taken a bold step in advancing groundbreaking pro-life legislation. In a 32-18 vote, the Senate passed SB 3, a bill sponsored by Senator Michelle Brooks that would ban all abortions in Pennsylvania after 20 weeks and prohibit the gruesome dismemberment abortion procedure. I won't describe it here, but you can find out more about this important bill, how your senators voted, and what happens now as it winds its way through the legislative process at our website at pafamily.org. If you are among the many in this state and nation that care to protect innocent human life, including those that currently reside within their mother's womb, we need your voice and your engagement. The mother's womb is a place that should be the safest and not the most dangerous place on earth. Again, go to our website to find out more about Senate Bill 3 and how you can help to make sure it gets to a vote in the House of Representatives. Go to pafamily.org for more.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Let's go back now immediately to our special guest, IQ Arasuli. And IQ, I want to pick up where we left off, if I could. I ask you to think about what you, from your observation towards what's happening here in the United States after the Trump election and the promises to make the kinds of changes that really caused the American people to elect him, what are the areas of biggest concern do you see concerns for him advancing and fulfilling the promises he made, and the greatest encouragement, if you could, that you are witnessing in this period of time since he's been elected?
My worry is that America will go back to the comatose mental condition that they were under Obama. I repeat again, you cannot allow Obama and the Democratic Party to undermine Trump. And that you have to be proactive, because Obama is using 30,000 people with $40 million backing them up to undermine Trump. So he needs all those people who elected him to be proactive. As I repeat again, you have enormous powers. You have the power of the vote and the power of the purse. Use it. It takes 5 minutes to tweet. It takes less than 5 minutes to email your congressman, your senator, and threaten them that unless they follow the line, you will not vote for them. The only way they can be in power is when you vote for them. So when you tell them you're not going to vote for them, they have two choices. Follow you or leave. So that's what worries me, is that the American people are not going to be proactive, while the enemy is 100% active. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, whatever he has said so far, whatever he has done so far, has been fantastic. What has he done which was wrong? Even this immigration thing. He did it within the law. But what do we have? Rogue judges. Rogue. Literally, that's what they are, rogue judges. As commander-in-chief, his primary position as commander-in-chief, President Trump has to protect the American people from within and without. Look, let me first put the foundations of my comments in their proper context regarding immigration. Immigration to the USA is not a right. I repeat, for crystal clear clarity, that immigration to the USA is not a right, but a privilege. Again, I repeat, it is a privilege. Immigration to the USA has to be followed legally, and only legally after a comprehensive vetting of the immigrant. No human being has any right entering any sovereign nation illegally. This is exactly why they are called illegal. Where is the difficulty? I want to understand. Where is the difficulty from what I'm saying?
Absolutely true.
IQ, you are about as clear as it can be, and you've made two statements, and I want to summarize and then go on. Illegal means illegal because it's illegal, and immigration is not a right, it is a privilege, and therefore there are laws you need to abide by. What's wrong with people? You're clear as could be. The other thing I want to summarize is that you did say this. One person by themselves may not make that much of an impact. However, many people being involved and indicating their voices, opening up their mouths, does make a difference. That's what we saw in the election. So, ladies and gentlemen, take that to heart. Do what you can where you are, and if others are doing the same thing, it will have a significant impact. IQ, let's go to Europe now, and I want to get some European response. There are elections taking place in Europe. There seems to be some awakening as to the Islamic threat and other things there, but from your perspective, as we look at Europe and as the news comments on what's happening there, what countries and what elections there this year are perhaps, in your opinion, most critical and most directive, I suppose, or indicative of what may happen to all of Europe? Could you clue us in on that?
Yeah, France, the Netherlands, and Germany, they're critical. They're very critical. The question is this: how many French people will support Marine Le Pen, who is the opposition party? How many will support Geert Wilders, the opposition party? And how many will continue supporting Angela Merkel? There are no figures, by the way, that you can rely on. It's the same problem that you have in America with the news media. It is even worse in Europe, because the governments in Europe control the media completely. The BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, used to be the number one media system in the world for truth. The number one.
That's right.
Today, I wouldn't give it one out of 99. They tell the lies. They are attacking Donald Trump 24 hours a day. Why are they attacking Donald Trump? Because they are not objective. And most of the media in Europe are not objective. Where do the Europeans get their information? From the alternative media. You are the alternative media. The people I talk to are all alternative media. Today's program with you is 1,206 radio interview. Only in America. I can't get a single interview in Europe. Not one. A whole continent, I cannot have 5 minutes or 2 minutes anywhere. Only in America. But not with the prime time television and prime time news media. Again, they will not allow me. Not because I'm lying. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I apologize for interrupting. IQ, we love having you on this program because you are so forthright and you speak the truth and your background screams credibility. And you are as articulate a spokesman as any of us have ever heard, and we greatly appreciate you. I want to follow up on your comment about those three countries, but I want to single in on Germany. Angela Merkel's popularity, depending on, you know, the credibility of the news source, but it appears that her credibility is slipping, her popularity is slipping, and there seems to be at least some degree of an awakening in her that there's real problems with what they have welcomed into Germany as far as these Islamists, and some of them, I think, are even being invited to leave and being paid to do so. Can you speak to whether Germany can be saved at this point? And if they can, because I think it would be a great lesson for America, because we're trekking, or at least were under the Obama administration, down a similar path. If Germany can be saved, what is necessary to save it? What is necessary to keep America from getting into the same condition?
Ban Islam. By the way, I'm not saying it flippantly. Let me explain something to you in simple English terms. In any constitution in Europe, and in the Constitution of the United States of America, it is prohibited for any single group in the United States or in Europe to incite, to kill, to murder, to plunder others. Am I right or am I wrong so far?
You are 100% correct.
Right.
Well, when you look at the Quran and you listen to the Imam, what does the Imam teach the Muslims? Exactly what it shouldn't be done in the Constitution of America. Why? He tells the Muslims that the Americans who are not Muslim are infidels. They are kuffar. Their destiny is hell. And that they, Muslims, have every right to plunder them, rape them, butcher them, kill them, or enslave them. Don't take my word for it. Many times I repeated it to you. There are 114 chapters in the Quran. Don't bother 114. Read the first 9 chapters. Mm-hmm. And if you come to any conclusion opposite to mine, you should be put in a mental asylum.
Well, IQ, that's direct and straightforward, I guess. And, of course, we have quoted you numerous times on this program about reading the first 9 chapters, even when you were not with us. But, you know, here in about a minute and a half that we have left in this segment, you know, about a year ago, you predicted that Donald Trump would win the presidency here because he was the only one who truly understood that Islamic threat. But in your opinion, what's going to happen in Europe this year? Do you think that Europe is in the process of awakening to the Islamic threat or not?
I'm really hopeful. I'm not kidding with you. I'm really hopeful that enough of them will wake up. But when they wake up, we have a problem. How will they treat the Muslims? How do you deal with 30 to 40 million Muslims in Europe? How will you take care of them? How will you deal with them? I honestly believe there will be a social upheaval. There will be a bloodshed. Between now and 2018, I honestly believe there will be bloodshed if enough Europeans wake up. How do you deal with people who are literally your enemy sitting by you? Tell me. I want to know. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But it's a frightening scenario. It's a frightening scenario. You have the enemy within your neighbor. He's a Muslim. He cannot assimilate. He will not assimilate. He's not allowed to assimilate. He's not allowed to integrate. So what do you do with him?
And IQ, that is a real question, and we don't have that answer. That's why we know what the answer is. It ultimately comes to a conflict. That's what we hope and we pray, that people wake up with the truth and can convince and make a change in people's minds, because without that, we are really in a troubled state. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue with IQ Al-Rasuli when we come back after this break, and we're going to move to this whole concept of this Islamic lie that they are a peaceful religion. Can that be successfully countered? Because really, that lies at the heart of this. Can truth make the difference, make the change? We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Ronald Reagan once said, "I have wondered at times about what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress."
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's Prime Minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
As Ronald Reagan once said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder to you that you can pick up the archives of these programs by going to our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com. not just the archives of this program, but our weekend program, Stand in the Gap Weekend, and also the minute program that we have that's called Stand in the Gap Minute. All of those can be found there at standinthegapradio.com. Now, as we end up and go into this final conclusion segment here, IQ, 2 days ago, the Christian Post interviewed me on the issue of whether Islam was a peaceful religion and whether the President Trump's order to limit jihadi Islamic immigration to the United States was appropriate. When that was released just 2 days ago, about an hour and a half, a writer from Breitbart News then picked this up and wrote a more lengthy article about it, building off of that same interview. The question I have for you is this. When I interviewed the Christian Post journalist who interviewed me, he actually was calling from Ireland. And he seemed to me as if he was hoping, actually he did kind of say it, that he was hoping for a strong voice from American pastors to counter the Islamic lie that they're a peaceful religion and to give support. I was thinking, sensing coming from him, he was actually hoping that the article might give some support to people in Europe who are nationalist people and understand the threat, and that something would come out of it. I think you read that article, IQ. I just wanted to ask you about this. Do you think that articles of this type give hope, things, articles like that that occur here in the United States, do they give hope and assistance to people in Europe, our fellow, you know, travelers in life who are committed to freedom? Are things that are happening here like that, does it help the efforts in Europe?
It helps, but it's not enough. You see, you have to back up with verses from the Quran. Anybody could say anything they want to say about the Quran, condemn it or support it without quoting anything. But that's wrong. I'll give you an example. Now we're talking to each other. I am willing to pay $200,000 to the first person who can show us all a single operative verse in Muhammad's Quran that demonstrates any compassion and mercy to all unbelievers who are unbelievers. Presently, 80% of humanity, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, agnostics, anybody who is not a Muslim, I'm willing to pay $200,000 for just one verse from over 6,200 verses in Muhammad's Quran. You know what? There cannot be a single taker. I've had it for 12 years. I've had this challenge for 12 years. I can't lose. So how can anybody speak about peaceful Islam? I want to know.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, IQ, that that Islam tries to portray to us, and we even have many pastors here in the United States of America who will not speak out against Islam because they say, well, Islam is really a peaceful religion, and we're dealing with that. We are dealing with that every day here in the United States of America, and we even have some of our own people who listen to us who will say,
that's,
you know,
frightening.
Yeah.
That's frightening. It's frightening.
It is frightening.
Just ask them, have you read the Quran to come to this conclusion? Ask
the first nine chapters. Yeah. And we've said that. We've encouraged them to read the first nine chapters. We understand that. And we agree with you, and we walk along hand in hand with you on that. But, you know, in light of that, and in your opinion, what is it going to take for people to awaken to the truth of the reality of Islam, particularly here in the United States of America, because it is deeply embedded within government, the media, and even in the minds of many religious and Christian leaders, that Islam is okay, that it's a fine religion, that it's a peaceful religion? What is it going to take for people to wake up to the reality of this?
In a short answer, more terrorists, more acts
of
terror.
Wow.
But in America, I'm telling you, there is no way on earth, no way on earth, you can convince somebody who's stupid, not willing to study the subject or even read the subject, unless somebody cuts his legs off or arms off and then he wakes up. Unfortunately, this is a trouble. unless there is acts of terror and people who are innocent die, I don't think the Europeans and the Americans will wake up. I'm not kidding with you. That's a tragedy.
I think you know, you've been on this program enough that we know how you think, and I was expecting you to say exactly that, and I agree with you. I don't think some people are going to wake up until we are horrifically attacked again here in the United States of America, something I pray never occurs. But you are 100% correct. You cannot convince some people until it happens to them personally. Could I ask you to do this? And we have just a couple of minutes left. There are a lot of millennials out there that maybe even be listening to this program. Speak to them, if you would, IQ, and say something to them to try to persuade them to take an honest, objective look into what Islam is and not buy into the silly, syrupy, sentimental lies that are being told them by the mainstream media.
Well, I just offered them $200,000, and I'm not kidding. I will pay the $200,000, so let them go and look at the Quran and prove me wrong and collect $200,000. I'm giving them the best incentive, tax-free.
Tax-free. I like that. and you know, the reason, IQ, why you're able to say that is because, you know, they'll not be able to come against you and what you said. Well, nobody will be able to pay that $200,000.
That answers the question. Yeah. That means there is no peaceful Islam. Yeah. That is exactly what I'm proving. The challenge is not for, it's not a game. It has meaning in it. I am willing to pay $200,000 to prove me wrong that Islam is peaceful. I say it is not peaceful, so prove me wrong. No human being can do that. None.
IQ, I think you offer a challenge to anyone who wants to think, and anybody who is objective enough to say, you know what, I'm going to actually study and take a look at it. And you are correct. That is a pretty big incentive, but no one has done it thus far, as you say. IQ, we're winding down here a little bit. I'm going to want Dave to close us in prayer, because clearly when we talk about what can be done, we know that truth is a spiritually discerned quality. Not everybody can receive the truth, and that's why so many, as you say, are stupid. IQ, thank you for being on here with us, first of all, today, because Dave, I'm going to go to Dave next, and he'll probably pray, and then we'll have to wind up the program. But you are always a great thrill to have on here. Great information. Thank you for what you are doing.
God bless you all.
For truth around the world.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Dave, can I ask you to go and lead us in prayer right now? Because we need to pray about these things, because we need God's help on these matters of truth.
Absolutely, Sam. Father, thank you so much for the truth that has been communicated by IQ on this program, not just today, but many times when he's been our guest. Father, I pray you would protect him. And then, Lord, I pray you would open the eyes of those that have been so cleverly and cunningly deceived by the wicked one and by his emissaries. Lord, take the scales off people's eyes so they can see the enemy right in front of them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dave, Gary, and IQ for being all together here on the program today. Great program. Ladies and gentlemen, again, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. Have your friends and others go there, listen to the program, pick up the information, pass it along. It's vitally important that people understand what it is. Well, have a great weekend, and we hope that wherever you are, you stand for truth in the gap where you can.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180. AM